So I want to take a moment and just thank you guys for all the support that you give to the student ministry. And you know, that support is more than just money. I know we took up a special offering today, but it's really deeper than that. Your guys' verbal encouragement for what I'm doing and the verbal encouragement to the students for what they're doing, more than just Jennifer. I couldn't pull up all the people who have chaperoned a week of CIY, there's a lot of you that have given up weeks to do things like that. There's just a very, very real sense in this congregation that student ministry matters. It's not a second thought. It's not something we do because all the other churches do it. I really do get the impression that you guys believe in what the student ministry is trying to accomplish. So I appreciate that. You know, I was thinking about my ministry here and reflecting on my life, really. Over the past couple weeks as we were getting ready for Youth Sunday. And I have to say, I'm a very blessed individual. You know, I grew up in a great home. I was able to, I was surrounded by a Christian family growing up. I was able to, you know, graduate and go to college. I was able to marry a woman that is way out of my league and have three beautiful children. And I work for an amazing church too. You guys are an amazing church to work alongside of. So when I look at my life, it's pretty good. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but compared to much of the world, I have to say that I've been very blessed when it comes to my life. And I don't say that to brag or to imply that my life is somewhat better than somebody else's or anything like that. I just say that because I want you to understand that when I make the next statement, I understand that it's not really fair for me to say, okay? So I, 100% full disclosure, I understand what is about to come out of my mouth is not necessarily fair for me to say, but I have to be honest for a minute. My life is great, but sometimes life just sucks the life out of me. You know what I mean? You ever experienced that? Life just kind of punches you in the face sometimes. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, of course, because you're a human being, all right, and you've lived on this earth for more than a day, all right? So maybe you feel tired or frustrated or disappointed. I know everybody has experienced those emotions at some point or another, and it's a bunch of different things that can culminate to make us have these feelings in our life. Maybe it's a particularly hard financial obligation that you have, or maybe it's the doctor calls and the tests didn't turn out the way that you wanted them to turn out. Maybe it's you're having a difficulty with one of your children or one of your family members, or maybe you've gone through a rocky patch in your marriage or you're going through one now. Whatever the reason is, maybe you don't even have a reason, all right? Maybe there's just certain points in your life where you just feel, ugh, all right? You just don't feel good and you don't know why. Things feel dark, things feel heavy, things feel complicated. And you don't really have a reason for that. I think, we could just say that life just kind of sucks the life out of us, right? It kind of hits us and knocks us out for a little bit. You know, I think that happens the most when we're expecting or maybe hoping that things are going to go one way and they end up going another way. Life hands us something that we didn't expect, something that we didn't want, something that it didn't turn out the way that we necessarily wanted it to turn out. The way it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. Maybe life didn't live up to our expectations. You know, when I was thinking about that, things that don't live up to your expectations, I got to thinking about these chocolate bunnies. Do you remember these chocolate bunnies from when you were a kid? I have to apologize for the shape of this bunny. I ordered him online because they're impossible to find if it's not Easter, and he came in the mail, and he was a big blob of chocolate. He didn't look like a bunny, all right? So we had to do some work on them. But do you guys remember these? Did you get these in your Easter basket? You know, I remember being a kid, and you would look at this bunny, and you would think, that's a lot of chocolate, all right? That's like 100 pounds of chocolate in there. Like, that's going to last me at least a week, right? So, you know, you'd get all excited about this bunny, and then you'd pick it up, and you'd be like, this bunny's a little bit lighter than I expected it to be, right? Like, there's a lot of chocolate in there. Why is it so light? So, and then these things are impossible to get open. They're like Fort Knox getting into. But you pull the bunny out, and you go to take a bite of it. Yeah, you like this bunny? It's nice, isn't it? This poor, sad, deformed bunny. But you go to break off a piece to eat it, and what is it inside? It's hollow. what is this? All right? Like, this looks like a lot of chocolate, right? But this is not a lot of chocolate. It's hollow. It's disappointing. It's a little bit empty. Makes you feel a little bit empty, all right? It's completely empty on the inside. You know, it's tough when something you expected to bring you so much fulfillment actually ends up leaving you feeling kind of empty, right? And I think that's kind of the problem we have so many times with life, is that so many times we expect things to go one way, and then when we get through it or into it, it actually makes us feel a little bit empty.
God never said life would be easy. Sometimes life can be tough. You didn't get the job you wanted. Maybe a friend let you down. Perhaps someone close to you passed. Many hopes, dreams, and expectations you had for yourself have never been reached. When we experience disappointment, it's very easy to turn on God. We want to know why He didn't solve our problems, why He didn't give us what we wanted, or why He didn't answer our prayers the way we liked. God makes a lot of promises to us in the Bible. Unfortunately, though, He never promised life would be easy. So if you know the story of the apostles, you know you and I aren't the only ones who've endured profound disappointment, loss, or hopelessness. 2,000 years ago, the followers of Jesus endured what must have been the most difficult and terrifying experience of their lives. When Jesus was introduced into their lives, His followers were given a new sense of hope. They listened to His words and promises about peace, justice, and hope He would bring to the world, and they believed Him. They trusted that God, through Jesus, would change the world. But when the soldiers came and took Jesus away, the disciples quickly became lost in their own doubts. When Jesus was crucified, the disciples watched in terror as their Lord suffered on the cross. And as He died, the people who killed Him mocked Him. Turn with me to Luke 23:35-39. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at Him. They said, "He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He is Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came and mocked Him. They offered Him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above Him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." I can't even imagine that kind of fear, hopelessness, and loss His followers must have felt in that moment. Everything they had hoped for was suddenly and violently taken from them. A couple days after Jesus' death, two of His followers were walking out when someone approached and asked what they were doing. Turn with me to Luke 24:17-21. He asked them, "What are you two discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" He asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the only one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." But we had hoped. That's what it sounds like when life leaves you feeling empty. Circumstances can challenge our convictions. Because Jesus' followers had experienced His miracles and had heard all of His teachings, their convictions told them that He said who He was. But when Jesus was crucified, their circumstances made them challenge their convictions. When things go wrong, our circumstances can challenge our convictions. The early followers of Jesus knew what you and I know most to be true. Sometimes this life can leave you empty. We can't always make life better. When life is at its most difficult, there's usually nothing we can do to fix it. We can't bring back people we've lost, pretend to have never gossiped about someone, or take back the mistakes that we've made. We might ask God to save the day, but he doesn't always answer those prayers in the way we'd like. If you're familiar with the resurrection story, you know how the story of Jesus' death is going to end. But don't forget, his followers didn't know what was going to happen next. They felt defeated and hopeless. Like Jesus' followers, we don't understand why God allows life to be so painful at times.
So what do we do when that happens? What do we do when the circumstances challenge our convictions? You know, like Colin said, there's not a whole lot we can do, but I think there are some questions that we can ask ourselves to maybe help us refocus our perspective when life is hard, when things aren't going the way that we necessarily want them to go. You know, one of those questions I believe we can ask is, what are my circumstances, right? So just evaluating, why is it that life is making me feel empty right now? What is it that maybe I'm doing personally that might be bringing this feeling on? Or maybe it's something outside of what I'm doing that I have no control over. But just having perspective on why this is happening, maybe asking the question, is there anything I can do to change these circumstances? You know, the other question we need to ask ourselves when life is hard and tough and not going the way that we want is, what are my convictions, right? Who do I believe Jesus is? Can I actually trust him? Why did I start trusting Jesus in the first place? You know, when we refocus our attention off of our circumstances and onto Christ, there's something that we gain a perspective that is really hard for the world to understand, right? We acknowledge when we do this that nothing in this world has the ability to truly satisfy. So do you actually believe that only Christ can fill those hollow spots in your life? Do you really believe that? Do you have that conviction? And then I think the third question we need to ask ourselves is, what will I do when my circumstances challenge my convictions? If Jesus is who he says he is, can I still trust him despite my circumstances? And that's a very important question. What will I do the next time that life makes me feel empty? You know, maybe you're sitting here this morning and that frustrates you, right? Because you were hoping maybe we were going to give you like the answer to why God lets life fall apart sometimes. But we're not going to do that. And we're not going to do that because honestly, I don't know why it happens. All I know is that Jesus promised that it would happen. He promised that in this world we would have many trials, but to take heart because he has overcome the world. So I don't know why these bad things happen sometimes, or why circumstances happen in our life that we have no control over that can make us feel so empty. But here's what I do know. Yes, I've had a pretty good life, and I said that in the beginning, but I've had some dark moments in my life too, just like you have. These were moments that, quite honestly, I felt like, man, this is never going to end. Like, I'm never going to get out of this. There is only one thing in those moments that brought me back into the light. And it wasn't my job, it wasn't my education, it wasn't my family, it wasn't even my wife and kids, right? As great as those things were never created to bring me lasting satisfaction. Because we understand that at the end of the day, those are just things, right? Or just people. And things go away, things break, things wear out. People disappoint. They hurt from time to time. So those things, they were never meant to fill up that hole that you feel in your soul. That can only be filled by Jesus. Jesus is the only one who truly satisfies the soul completely. And honestly, unless you've had an experience or encountered Jesus in some way, I really won't be able to explain why that is or how that works. All I can do is tell you my story and say without reservation that Jesus Christ is the only thing in this world that truly satisfies. And then just ask you the question, you know, if you're not plugged into him, why not give him a try, right? See, I don't know how you walked in here this morning. Maybe you already know all this, right? And everything that's been said this morning has just reaffirmed what you already believe about Jesus. If that's the case, great, all right? We need people like you. And in fact, I'm going to say during the time of invitation, I'm going to invite you to come forward and share that, all right? I want you to come and say, man, Jesus is the best thing that I've ever had in my life. Here's why. Here's how I know that. Because we need more of that. We need people who already know this and are affirmed in it and are encouraging other people with that truth. So if you believe that Jesus is the only thing that truly satisfies your soul, then you need to be sharing that with people, all right? Not just here this morning at invitation time, but everyone that you come in contact with needs to see that in your life somehow. But maybe you walked in here this morning and you're far from that truth. Maybe life is just, like we said in the beginning, just sucking the life out of you, all right? And you're running from one thing to another. You're taking big old bites out of this and that and hoping that it'll satisfy you in some way, only to realize that whatever you're chewing on at this point in your life is just not satisfying you again. It's hollow. It's as hollow as the thing that you've tried before. You're biting into that money, that relationship, that drink, that drug, that job, and you're a few bites in and you're realizing this is not filling me up like it promised it would. It's not doing what it told me that it would do. I'd suggest to you, it's time to try Jesus, all right? You know, he claims that he will fully satisfy your soul. Why don't you give that a try? So, you know, right now it's invitation time, and we do invitation time every Sunday, and I think we should do invitation time every Sunday, but sometimes I wonder if invitation time just becomes, okay, 5 minutes before we get out of here, all right? I got stuff to do and places to be. I don't want invitation time to be that this morning, because there are two types of people in here this morning. There is, you're either a person who needs to bring a word of praise, or you're a person that needs to bring a word of surrender. You're in one of those two camps, all right? You are able to do one of those two things. And I don't know where you fall this morning, but you do. So like I said, I'm going to encourage you, if you're that person that has a word of praise, man, share that. Share that with the congregation. Encourage us with that. If you fall into the other camp, if you need to surrender, then it's time to surrender. And if your excuse is, well, I don't really understand everything I need to do to make that happen, or I don't really understand everything that that entails, that's okay. We want to walk with you through that. You don't have to have all the answers right now. You don't have to have any of the answers right now. If you're feeling that tugging on your heart and on your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit saying it's time. It's time for you to get this right. So we're going to sing a song of invitation, and I'm going to invite you to make one of those two decisions this morning. So we're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. Please come forward if you have a decision to make.